In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We hear the Beatitudes at almost every liturgy. As a matter of fact, every liturgy except for those liturgies that are great feast of the Lord. And again, today we also heard the Beatitudes in the second gospel reading, which is appointed because today we celebrate the memory of St. Anthony of the Kiev Caves, who was the founder of Russian monasticism. And that's heard on many occasions when monastic saints are commemorated especially. But there's a beatitude that was written about 1,000 years before Christ, and we hear that on the eve of every commemoration of a great saint, and that's Psalm 1, which begins with the words, "Blessed is the man." First off, when we talk about a beatitude and we talk about the blessedness that spoke about there, we need to understand that this is not just a blessedness in the sense of getting a lot of blessings from God, but it's the eternal blessedness that we hope to have, and it's also having no need of anything, having been supplied with everything that is good. But like the Beatitudes of Christ, this psalm also is not just a future blessing, but it's a present blessing. It says, "Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that hath not walked in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the pestilent." Many fathers say that this psalm is speaking about Christ, and that's certainly true because Christ is the perfect man. He's the one who lived a completely righteous and perfect life, and the one whose life we should all want to emulate and follow. But it also refers to anyone who has been righteous, and it refers especially to the kind of righteous person that we want to be. And the fact that it says, "Blessed is the man," doesn't exclude women, even though in the Hebrew it actually is the word for male rather than a generic term like anthropos, which could mean a male or a female or any kind of man. It says, "Blessed is the man," and that's one of the reasons why the fathers say that this is speaking specifically of Christ. But St. Basil the Great says it isn't just speaking about men. Women shouldn't feel like they're excluded from this passage because we all share the same nature, and so we're all trying to achieve the same thing. And so what's true of a man is also true of a woman. But when he begins talking about the blessed man, he describes what he is not. He says he's not walked in the counsel of the ungodly. And the fathers say that walking in the counsel of the ungodly refers to thoughts, joining our thoughts with that of the wicked. Also, he's not stood in the way of sinners. The fathers say this refers to deeds, when we actually exist in that path that the sinners have encouraged us to live in by encouraging us to have sinful thoughts. And then it talks about sitting in the seat of the pestilent, as it's translated in the Psalter that we use, and that's a good translation of the Greek word that's used there. The Hebrew word that is a translation of means scoffer or mocker. And you can see how the two words are connected, because if someone is a scoffer, they're a pestilent person. They're causing all kinds of problems. And you could also say, when we talk about a pestilence, this is some kind of disease that can wipe out human beings or animals or even crops, and so it's something that we want to avoid. Well, when people are scoffers and mockers, they are spreading around a infectious disease that destroys people's souls. And there's nothing easier or more lazy than going along with the crowd like the ungodly that are being talked about here, and especially being a mocker. It's easy to sit back and to see other people who are trying to do the right thing and to make fun of them and to mock them. And that's, our society is full of that. People spend hours every day watching comedians that do nothing more than to mock anything that's good or holy. But that's not all that constitutes being a righteous man, because as St. Basil the Great says, if this was all that made someone blessed, then that means an ox or a horse or a stone would also be blessed, because they don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, they don't stand in the way of sinners, and they don't sit in the seat of the pestilent or the scoffers. You also have to do good. And it says, but his will is rather in the law of the Lord, and in his law will he meditate day and night. It's not enough to just avoid doing evil. One has to pursue good. Elsewhere in the Psalter, it says, turn away from evil and do good. And when it speaks of the law, one thing that you should understand is the word in Hebrew, Torah, doesn't just mean legal statutes like we think of as law. So this is not saying we should be legalist or focusing specifically or exclusively on the statutes that you find, say, in the Ten Commandments. It's talking about all the instruction that you find in Scripture. And if we are going to be the blessed man that's talked about in this psalm, we need to meditate on the law day and night. Our will needs to be in the law of the Lord. We need to have our lives guided by the Scriptures. Now, obviously, this does not mean that we spend every day and even every hour of the night reading the Scriptures, because it wouldn't be possible for us to do so. There are other things that we have to do, and it's just not possible. But what we can do, in addition to reading the Scriptures and meditating on the actual contents as we do so, we should be constantly thinking about what it is that God would have us to do, and thinking about the things of the Lord throughout the day, and actually putting what we read in Scripture into practice. That's what's being referred to here. And then it says, and he shall be like the tree which is planted by the streams of the waters, which shall bring forth its fruit in its season. And its leaf shall not fall, and all things whatsoever he may do shall prosper. One thing that you have to understand when you're reading the Scriptures is that they so often talk about water, and they talk about water as giving life in a way that maybe we wouldn't if we were the ones that were writing the Scriptures here. Because we get so much rain in this part of the country that the biggest concern we have is how do we get the rain to drain properly so that it doesn't flood everybody on a regular basis. That's the biggest problem that we have. But much of the Holy Land is fortunate if they get a foot of rain in the course of an entire year. We can get a foot of rain in one good day with a tropical storm or a hurricane, but for them, over an entire year, a foot of rain is doing good. That makes the land at least somewhat possible to cultivate crops on. And there are some parts of the Holy Land where they get maybe a little bit more than an inch of rain in a year, and that's outside of a period of a drought. But the point that's being made here is that the truth of Scripture and the grace that accompanies those who believe it and put it into practice is like a steady stream which constantly gives life to the person, who is like a tree that's planted by the river and is constantly sustained by it. Because the one thing that the people in the Holy Land noticed, that even when there was a drought, when everything else was withering away and drying up, if you see a tree planted by a river, you know that that tree is going to be okay, because it has a constant stream of water to give its life. The question that we have to ask is, are we like that tree in terms of our relationship with Scripture? Are we studying the Scriptures on a regular basis, and are we trying to put them into practice? Or are we like a tree that's planted far away from that stream, and we're not given life by that? Because if that's the case, we're going to wither up and dry because we're not sustained by that stream. We don't really have a choice if we want to be a Christian. If we want to be that blessed man the psalm is talking about, we need to plant ourselves next to that stream of the Scriptures and constantly allow it to give us life. Then the second half of this psalm shifts its focus, and it begins to talk about the counterexample of the wicked. Not so are the ungodly, not so, but rather they are like the chaff which the wind doth hurl away from the face of the earth. Why is it not so with the ungodly? It's not because God from all eternity just decided, you know what, I don't like that guy over there, and I'm going to make sure that he's like the chaff which the wind doth hurl away from the face of the earth. No, the ungodly choose to keep themselves from that stream that's there. They could plant themselves by that same stream that anyone else could. They could be given life by the Scriptures. They could put the Scriptures into practice, but they choose not to. And so as a consequence, they are not rooted, and they're not given life by the truth, and so they are like the chaff which the wind blows away. And chaff is that part of a stalk of wheat that is not the part that you want to eat. It grows with the wheat berry, but when it's harvested, the farmers do everything they can to separate those two, and one of the ways they do that is they create a flow of air by using a winnowing fan on their threshing floor, and they toss the wheat up in the air with the chaff, and the chaff blows away, but the wheat falls to the ground. That's how they separate them. And that's an image of what will happen at the end of the age, because those who are saved are going to be like the wheat that will not be blown away, and those that are lost, those who have rejected God, are going to be like that chaff that's just blown off with the wind. It's here today, and it's gone tomorrow to be remembered no more. For this reason shall the ungodly not stand up in judgment, nor sinners in the council of the righteous. We're told elsewhere in the Psalms, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? For with thee there is forgiveness. None of us would be able to stand up in the day of judgment apart from God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. The ungodly are those who did not ask for that mercy when they had the chance, and on the day of judgment there will be only condemnation for them. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. We may not always know our own way in life, but if we love the Lord, God knows our way. He knows how to get us through any problem that we may face or any temptation that we may encounter. He knows all about our problems. He knows our problems better than we do, and he certainly knows the solution. He knows our strengths, and he knows our weaknesses, and he leads us in ways that we often don't understand or know at the time, but he is always with us, and we have to have a faith that that is true, despite whatever problems or trials we may face. We may be tempted at many times to think, God, where are you? Where are you in all of these things? Why am I going through all of these things? But you have to know that if you're like that tree planted by the streams of the waters, if you're trusting in God, that God will always be with you and he will guide you. But he says the way of the ungodly will perish. This does not mean that they cease to exist. We're told throughout Scripture that that is not the case. But they will cease from their evil life, and they will eternally be separated from God. The Psalms are a treasure house of grace and truth. And this psalm is an introduction to all the rest, and it tells us what kind of a person we need to strive to be if we are to gain any benefit from the rest of that wonderful book. We need to pray the Psalms. We need to learn to sing them. We need to let them always be on our lips and let them sink down deeply into our heart. If you look at the services of the church, the Psalms are always there. There's not a service that you will ever hear, that at least not that comes to mind, where there's not at least some part of the Psalms that are used. We should know them like the back of our hand. They should be our constant companion. And we should allow them to be a constant source of life so that we can be like that tree planted by the waters whose leaf does not fall and bears fruit in due season unto life everlasting. Amen.